Your time is now. Let's make this moment last.
Welcome to the 24-25 season of the Keeping Up Appearances podcast. Before you listen to this episode, please head over to our social medias and hit that follow button. You can find us on X at Keeping Up Apps and on TikTok and Instagram at Keeping Up Apps Pod. Please also hit that subscribe button on YouTube where we are at Keeping Up Appearances. I've always wanted to say that.
Remember, this is what I see as the lineup full time in a few weeks. So let's make this a good one.
Yeah, let's make this work.
I'm changing my Zoom link so Sean just can't get on anymore.
I was going to say, I expected to invite like 6 months down the road, not 2 weeks after the last one.
Actually, made a big impression.
You obviously impressed, Max. Honestly, the amount of DMs we've had,
the listeners loved it.
The fans loved it. I mean, our only fans are you, Tosh and Bob.
So say the one DMs from me.
But yeah, Max, we can't help that we're big in America these days. It's fine. It's just
got a big demand. You're bringing us when you're bringing in numbers stateside, Max. That's what you said. That's what you're offering us.
It is.
You just need to go on tour. 2026 World Cup.
It's in the works.
Ooh, that's a good idea. That
we'll be there. We'll be there. Welcome to this week's episode of Keeping Up Appearances. We are a usual member down, as Sean is currently watching two fellas in Lycra fighting in a ring.
The big loser.
Sean has gone to the wrestling at the M&S Bank Arena. So he is not with us tonight.
Echo Arena.
Yeah, well, if M&S want to sponsor us, Bob, we've got to kind of play into the hands of me.
You do a great pie.
And Colin.
If they want to send us any in, we're more than happy to take them. So yeah, we are Sean down today, but he will keep up with his producing duties later in the week. But we do have the return of our biggest stateside fan. Possibly only stateside fan. The return of Max Burns, who was with us a couple of weeks ago, stepping in for me, and he is stepping in for Sean again tonight. Max, thanks for joining us. How are we doing?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me again. I'm starting to become a recurring character. Like one of those 90s sitcoms, you can add my name at the end of the opening credits.
Are we massive over there now?
It's humongous. There's a Rhode Island supporters club.
Yeah, with, I think
it would be. You can't walk down the street without people suggesting the way to keep up appearances, can you?
So, yeah, I think, listeners, we have cracked America, so make of that what you will. But to start this week's podcast, we will play one of our older quiz games. And over the last few weeks, we've kind of mixed up with a few new additions for this season. But we'll go back to one that we played last season with Any Given Saturday. So I will take the lead for this one. I have picked two fixtures from the coming match week. That we have this weekend from the season of 2001 to 2002. So I've picked two games from the 01-02 season that were played on the match week that we are about to go into. I will tell the lads the fixtures. They will have to guess who the scorers were for that game and hopefully come up with some good nostalgic shouts. Please play along at home too. So, obviously, there's no teams here, but you're kind of working together. And yeah, see if you can come up with any good shouts. So, the first game will be Arsenal 3, Blackburn 3. Ugh. And to give you, well, I'll have to give you this. One of the Blackburn goals is an own goal.
What year was it again? Sorry.
01-02.
So 2001.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think it was the 20th of October, somewhere else. Or something like
Pascal Segan.
Can't just guess the names.
What?
So I was actually about to ask. Street. Can you remind me? You got to ask questions, right?
Don't just shout out names, but yeah, just kind of.
Bill of Sender Ross.
He scored the hat trick. Done.
That's one of the fellas who scored for Arsenal, either for or against Arsenal, been in rehab.
Not that I know of.
Are they on
one of the scorers for Arsenal, French?
Did you say all of them or one of them?
One of them.
Two of them are, yeah.
So you said no to both questions. Two of them, the scorers was...
Was one of them very va-va-voom?
One of them was very va-va-voom and still is very va-va-voom. Possibly more va-va-voom.
King Thierry, then.
Correct, Thierry Henry scored the third goal for Arsenal that day on the 78th minute.
Did one of his one of them play on the left wing and run with his feet at 180 degrees?
Yes, possibly.
Did he have a proper dodgy beard on his chin?
Very possibly.
Like a stripe.
Very possibly.
Robert Pires.
Mm-hmm. He scored Arsenal's first goal of the day.
So we need one more Arsenal scorer who's not French.
Correct. You've got Pires and Henry. Two out of three for
does one of them. Does the other Arsenal one like to do cobra bombs on a Sunday on Twitter?
He doesn't. I don't think he's that kind of guy.
Remarkable shape for a man that consumes cobra bombs on a weekly basis
and drinks with Alan Brazil on a regular basis.
You think you'd just get fat by standing next to Alan Brazil, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I reckon he's giving him all his weight into Alan Brazil's head.
Is one of the Arsenal scorers would he be a fan of ABBA?
Don't think so.
Did he make nearly 80 caps last week when we found out for
no.
Sweden? Was he from England or from Britain?
No.
Ooh. Was he Spanish?
Nope.
Defender?
Nope.
Midfielder?
No.
Was he Dutch?
He was and is still Dutch.
Did he play for Barcelona?
Stummy, I don't...
Did he not like to go on a plane?
He didn't like to go on a plane.
Okay. Then no, he didn't play for Barcelona.
No, he didn't play for, I didn't think so. But you threw me there, Max. Who were you thinking of?
Mark Overmars.
Oh, yeah. All right, okay.
Dennis Bergkamp then.
Dennis Bergkamp got the second goal for Arsenal and third goal of the day. So now you've got three Blackburn goals.
One of them's an Arsenal.
One of them's an Arsenal player and the other one scored the other two.
So you've got two more. Is he a striker?
Nope.
This is the Blackburn fella, yeah?
Yeah, no.
Would you describe him as a Barclaysman?
Yes, I'd say so.
Is he one of two ultimate Barclaysmen who plays for Blackburn?
There's only two.
I'd have two clear ones if I was picking Blackburn off the top of my head.
I think you've got loads for Blackburn.
Who are the ultimate two then, though? If I'm thinking of the two I'm thinking of.
Two guy and Brett Emerson.
No, you've missed out Morten Gamp's pedestal, surely.
No, he's not definitely not one of the ultimate ones. But I'd say he probably is just by being in that kind of era. I think he's a Barclaysman for Blackburn.
Midfielder then?
Correct.
Two goals.
I don't know whether that's too late.
Is he manager of Macclesfield?
Mm.
No. I feel this was probably unusual.
I'm just trying to remember from the midfield.
Did he used to play for Liverpool?
No.
Was he famous for trying a Rabona and falling over and Steve Bruce absolutely loving it?
He was.
Was it really?
I get it.
Was it Mr. David Dunn?
Mr. David Dunn scored two. He scored the equaliser in the 89th minute.
Sean, get that video on the socials. Yeah.
Who did he do that for, Tosh? Who did he do that for? Was that Birmingham?
We've got one more. So the Arsenal person who scored the own goal.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a defender?
Mm-hmm.
Does he think he should be a manager? But he shouldn't be.
Don't think so.
Does he think France are going to win the World Cup?
No.
just
I know. I just wanted to say.
Does he love the FA Cup final with the Arsenal in?
No.
Did he go on the biggest slide ever?
Is his first name Sulzia?
Is he a traitor?
Has he got a song that goes to the tune of Lily Allen's Smile?
No.
Is he British?
No.
Could his name be a girl's name?
No.
Has he got a brother who played for Man City?
No.
Oh, no.
Do you want a clue?
Is he the current manager of someone who was at the Euros or forgotten, like Albania or someone like that?
Let me think. I feel that could be like...
He managed someone... Is he got a name that ends in O?
He hasn't, but he is currently a manager, but of a club side. But a fairly big club side.
Oh. Don't know how we define that now.
Not Sean Dyche.
Do you want a clue?
Need a clue, yeah.
A clue could be that the own goal could have been a screamer. He was a player who scored screamers.
Is he Dutch?
He is.
Nah. Did he score that screamer in the World Cup?
He did. When he hits them, they stay hit.
Gio van Bronckhorst.
It's Gio van Bronckhorst. He scored an own goal that day.
Who is he the club manager of?
Besiktas.
Oh.
So, yeah, 3-3. Pires, Bergkamp, Henri for Arsenal, and Van Bronckhorst own goal. David Dunn with 2 goals for Blackburn. Well done, you got there in the end. Second game is 1/2 of the panel. After playing, it is Everton 3, Aston Villa 2. On the same day.
A goalkeeper score for Aston Villa?
Correct.
Was it the great Dane Peter Schmeichel?
The great Dane Peter Schmeichel scored in the 90th minute. He did indeed.
Did one of our goal scorers score in a scramble?
I don't know.
Is it Super Kev Campbell?
No.
Did one of ours like to fight with burglars?
No. Although one of them might, to be fair. Yeah, no.
Is one of them Scottish? The Everton goal scorer?
No.
Is he Canadian?
One of them is Canadian.
Thomas Radzinski.
Correct. He scored the second goal for Everton that day.
Is one of them a ginger Welsh midfielder?
No.
I just want to say Mark Pembridge.
Could one of them have been answering keeping up appearances last week? Swedish?
No.
Have we gone through positions?
No.
Do we have a defender, goal scorer?
Yes.
Is he affectionately known as Rhino?
No.
Has he only got one ball?
No.
Is he another ginger man?
He is.
Is it Steve Watson?
It is Steve Watson.
I reckon he wasn't playing defence then, though, was he?
Yeah, I was going to say he's right behind that, I know, but yeah.
By trade.
Should have, Tony a bit question, going through the ranks.
Yeah. The question should have been, is he one of the world's finest utility men?
He scored one of the best hat-tricks I've ever seen at Goodison Park. The next question as well. I'm one of the slowest overhead kicks.
About 7 stages, wasn't it?
Was the other one a midfielder, Callum?
Yes.
English?
No.
Danish?
Yes.
Oh, get in.
Yeah, was he a multi-millionaire or whatever now?
Yes, through poker, apparently.
Would he be confused with the current England manager?
Yes.
Is it Tommy Gravesen?
It is Tommy G. Tommy Gravesen scored the third.
Mad
goal.
Dog.
We're actually 3-0.
I remember it because at that time, that was the year before I got my season ticket. I remember like watching that on Final Score. I think Villa, if I remember rightly, were right near the top of the table. Villa hadn't lost in a while, or they might have only lost once, so they were right near the top. That was like the first defeat. I said Everton went 3-0 up and then nearly bottled it.
Nearly Everton'd it.
Nearly Everton'd it.
One Villa player.
I've forgotten about that.
Is he from South America?
I don't think
so. God, I hope so.
Is it no. Lee Hendry?
No.
Did he go on to play for Everton?
No.
Had he played?
Sorry.
Go on, you're good.
Midfielder. I believe he was.
Midfielder? Is that when you say is... You're not sure if he was a like fullback or defender?
I'll be honest, I just wasn't 100% sure that he's in midfield, but he is. He is in midfield, I've checked. He is a midfielder. I just wasn't 100% sure on his position. I thought he was probably more defensive than attacking, but he is a midfielder, God. I think.
You still don't seem too sure, to be honest. Come on, get a clue. British?
No.
European? Played...
No, I don't think you'd say he was. You don't think you'd say that one. Team played in the Euros, don't I think.
It's like Maris again.
Well, who?
The team played in the Euro.
No, he didn't. He played for two English clubs.
Who was the other one?
There's another Midlands club, and he moved from them to Villa.
West Brom, Wolves, Birmingham.
No.
None of them?
No.
Derby?
No.
Forest?
No.
Midlands?
Yeah, it's Midlands, I think.
Leicester?
No, Leicester.
No. No. It's a C.
Coventry. Was it... I'm just going to say his name. Is it Mustafa Hadji?
It is Mustafa Hadji.
Wow.
How the fuck have you got that out there?
Good shout.
Unbelievable, huh?
I'll give you that. He only actually played 35 times for Villa in 3 years.
He scored against Everton.
Yeah. He scored 2 goals in 3 years. One of them was against us.
Probably both, were.
Yeah, Mustafa Hadji. Well done, Tosh. Good shout. So that was it for Everton. Everton 3-2. Watson, Radzinski, Graveson. 2 goals for Aston Villa late on. Mustafa Hadji and Peter Schmeichel with a 90th minute goal. Whatever, managed to see it out. So that was any given Saturday for this week.
Pretty sure I cried. Pretty sure I cried when Schmeichel scored that.
I was going to say, it's a good job I remembered that Schmeichel scored that because we could have been guessing a while. Eh? Very good. Thanks for that, Callum. So moving on to M5, as always, recapping last week. So last week's was our examples of football and Schadenfreude, sour grapes for any non-Germans. I could have linked it to Max being in Oktoberfest there for the thought ahead.
Yeah.
Well, you're out now.
There's another chance missed. That's why we're not quite at that elite level yet. Someone else would have done a better job there. The winner was John Terry's slip. So a nice win for Bob.
Get in!
Bob doing something that wasn't Everton or stupid than he won, so I hope that's a lesson to him. Also, just noted that Callum, by my estimations, Callum's one that he picked only got one vote, so we should have really put mine for, because I actually think I won. But...
Well, tactical, it was to let Bob win. It
worked well for you, so... this week, so yeah, John Terry joining the rest of the lads, Kumas, Pogba, Van Basten... Yeah, all of the rest of them. There's too many to mention now, but he's off there. I'm sure everyone's life is about to get much worse now that John Terry's over there. This week, we're going to go down the lines of football and rivalries, but not between club sides. So we're going to say either managers or player rivalries. The reason we are doing that is twofold. Originally, it was the announcement, to most of our delight, that Busted are doing a Busted versus McFly series of concerts. Are you going to go, Bob?
Yes, of course we am.
Bob will be there. I'm sure he'll be there as well.
Yeah, I think I've seen McFly, Busted and Mac Busted, all the variations, probably about 8 times now, which is quite pathetic, really.
No, I think it's a bit
of a good one. it will be funny.
So yeah, we're going to go football average. The other thing was, which is a much better reason, is that Rafael Nadal retired, and obviously that era of tennis, Nadal, Djokovic, Federer, is some of the greatest rivalries in sports. But we'd be lying if we said that was the reason we picked it.
Yeah, I prefer the McFly version.
But yeah, take it as you leave it. So we're going to leave it pretty open to players and managers or something on them lines, but we're not going to say like you can have like a Merseyside derby or something like that, because we've sort of touched upon that in other things we've done. So who can start us off? Callum's done a lot of talking.
Can I just say mine is between club sides?
Max is all right. It's not a derby. Max isn't a derby.
Yeah, I think. Sorry,
it's not a traditional club side that rivalry.
Well, yeah. I'll ignore everything I've just said then, apart from the fact that Callum's came last. So
yeah,
no, I think. I don't know if you know what Max's is, so I'm going to try and make a reason, which then I could make it wrong again. I think we said that it could be like, not like just saying the Merseyside derby, like a rivalry between...
Like a period. Like
a period
of rivalry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can have that. So nice one, Max. Ruined that for everyone. That was smooth as anything.
Yeah, last time you'll be invited on that. Joke.
You better hope SmackDown isn't back in Liverpool soon, Max. You won't be on again ever again.
I don't think Sean's the missing link. It's Callum. He's the one who told me it was all right.
Yeah, well done, Callum.
No, it was right.
Callum, it was you and Sean fighting for your place in this. Me and Bob are secure.
He's making more work for Sean, so fair play to him.
Yeah. Sean will love listening to this.
Pull your finger out, Sean.
Right then. Callum can have a rest. Max can have a rest. I don't want to go first. So as defending champion, Bob, you're up.
I don't know whether I can be bothered now that I'm defending champion. So mine is kind of linked to what you were saying about eras and rivalries between teams that aren't local rivals. So I'm going slightly retro, a Premier League rivalry, and probably the first rivalry of teams you'd think of would be Man United and Arsenal. So I'm going for two players that were kind of synonymous with that rivalry in the probably the late 90s to early noughties, going for two colossal centre midfielders in Roy Keane and Patrick Vieira. Some absolutely iconic battles over the years, some really good footage of Roy Keane jumping to Gary Neville's defence when he was getting bullied by, I think, the whole Arsenal tunnel. He just goes absolutely mad that Vieira and I just think it was a great rivalry between the pair of them, and the rivalry seems to have simmered down a bit now, and they're very respectful of each other and how great they both were. So that's quite nice, I suppose. As a competition for who's the best, I couldn't really pick myself, but it's always quite a good debate. Really, I think it just depends on what people's preferences are. Yeah, so I could have picked the two teams really for like when we were growing up, the two best teams and the best rivalry, non-local rivals aside. Could have been United against Arsenal, but I've gone for two players that really enjoyed watching. I say that was probably still quite young when they were in their pomp, but really like that style of player, all action, box to box. Slightly mad, very intimidating, great leaders, that kind of thing. So I think it's an iconic Premier League rivalry, really. So I'm going for Keane and Vieira.
Probably arguably the Premier League rivalry, I think, isn't it? Obviously, it's that sort of... I think now, I suppose, I was going to say Fergie Wenger is probably the one, and now you've probably got Klopp and Pep, which probably... ranks it, but there's nothing between them that I'd say is as synonymous as Keane and Vieira being like the spearheads of them two teams.
Yeah. And their rivalry was like at the top for the whole time, whereas Wenger really fell off, didn't he?
Yeah.
Whereas Ferguson was still winning titles, which was quite sad, but Vieira and Keane at their best was just always incredible.
I think it's a very aggressive rivalry, isn't it? It's something that you don't kind of see these days. It's like proper, like it was almost, I don't know if it was, but it was almost like hatred, wasn't it? It was a proper, like aggressive.
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, which like you don't get that nowadays. I don't think at all. Even like the saying a Pep Klopp one. It's not like it was more of a rivalry just because they were battling for things. It wasn't like a, you didn't feel like it was like aggressive between them at all. Not in that way.
They give each other the, like after the game, they give each other far too much credit and stuff like that. Whereas Keane would still want to rip his head off.
Yeah, there's no way they were like
months after
swapping shirts. Like they were this kind of thing. It was a that was like proper. Proper football and rivalry, yeah, it's definitely synonymous with the league.
I think as well, it always sort of surprises me. Like, you obviously, I do feel that slightly before my time of that sort of watching football every week, so it's hard. Like, but you think, I always think, like, you see like Vieira and what a footballer he was, and he was this giant and this athlete striding the pitch. You always think, how did it even like Keane like sort of compete with him? Which is a test to how good Keane actually was. That,
yeah,
he probably had. Didn't have many of the physical attributes that Vieira did. Probably didn't have the same sort of football, and I don't know, maybe that's been a disservice, but like just a sheer sort of attitude and discipline and being a brilliant. I mean, I think I'm probably, doing a disservice to Roy Keane as a footballer because I'm sure he was fantastic, but I don't know who he was. But yeah, I think that sort of just that rivalry and that hatred, and there's one, and as you say, there's one in, when they're playing with United, they're in like a navy blue kit away at Arsenal, and you see like they both like throw each other up at.
And there's the one in the tunnel as well. And I just always, I like the story of Gary Neville getting bullied as the trigger for that row. So always before, put that in there
before social media as well. So it's like, imagine if that was in the modern era where it'd be getting hyped up so much before a game and lead up to games.
They'd be on like an influencer boxing bill by now, wouldn't they? If it was a modern rivalry, you'd win.
Keane's never given up though, is he? Keane's still back to the end.
Too big.
He's too big. No. He'd be in different weight classes, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
No, I'm going Roy Keane.
Vieira be staying behind his jab and Keane would just be trying to get him on the inside. It'd be just there. It'd be great for fighting
Dirty as well. He'd be throwing headbutting and everything.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be able to get away with what they actually got away with though.
Yeah.
But again, like Vieira was famous, like sent off a few times so early on. He was that like dirty and that sort of thing. And obviously Keane, I think 10 or 11 sendings off, just like, I think the game. But again, I think they were both good enough to adapt, weren't they? As I say, like Vieira, that Arsenal team, like just unbelievable football inside, weren't they? Some played some unbelievable football. You couldn't play in that team if you weren't a footballer. So
neither team really replaced them for ages either as well, did they?
No.
Arguably they still haven't. Certainly United anyway.
Yeah. No, I think a good suggestion, Bob. I think I think then now knowing that Max is slightly different, I think, because I think mine's player as well. So we'll break it up. We'll break the players up one with Max if you don't mind.
Yeah, we can break it up with mine, which doesn't suit the rules.
Well, no, I think
we did say
that. That was my fault. I meant more a traditional rivalry, like saying you ain't going to say like Boca Juniors, River Plate. If it's like a rivalry from a time, I think that's all right. That was my fault. And Callum's mostly.
Not mine at all.
Yeah, so ahead of this weekend, I've went for, like you said, it's a modern day rivalry. It's not out of like location or necessarily the size of the clubs, but the big games he played in a certain time period, and it's Liverpool-Chelsea. In recent years, like I said, it's not much of a rivalry. They've played each other in four cup finals, but Liverpool have had the better of them all four times. But going back to 2003, last day of the Premier League season, they played each other, and whichever team won qualified for the Champions League. Chelsea came from behind, won 2-1, but the actual worst thing that came from that was that Roman Abramovich then bought the team. Obviously enticed by the fact they were Champions League side from London and got them for pretty cheap. They then spent, I think, $103 million in that summer on 11 new players. Finished second in the league behind Arsenal's Invincibles and got beaten in the Champions League semi-final by Monaco. Not enough for Roman Abramovich, so he then goes out and gets Jose Mourinho to become the new manager. Liverpool actually had the chance to sign Jose Mourinho, but they delayed on getting rid of Julio, so then they end up settling with Rafa Benitez. And then that first season, 2005, they played each other five times. The rivalry, I don't think, was very much in the league because Chelsea was just too good, but Chelsea beat Liverpool in the League Cup final thanks to a Steven Gerrard own goal in extra time, and then They played each other, obviously, in the Champions League semi-final, which Liverpool won thanks to the ghost goal from Luis Garcia. Obviously, they won the Champions League in Istanbul, and then Liverpool that season famously finished fifth behind Everton, who didn't qualify for the Champions League proper. But we'll gloss
cheated
over that, boys.
Cheated out.
Cheated out.
Another time. So Liverpool played Chelsea in the group stage that year, which is unheard of, and obviously hasn't happened again. 2-0 draws where Liverpool finished top of the group, and then they met each other in the semi-final of the FA Cup, which Liverpool won, went on to beat West Ham in the final. 2007, another Champions League semi-final. Liverpool come out on top again on penalties. That famous image of Rafa sitting cross-legged on the sideline looking like a Buddha. 2008, another semi-final. This time Chelsea win. At this point, Mourinho's gone, so it's Avram Grant. So it's a little bit more of an open game compared to the previous meetings. They were very tight tactical games with this one. I think finished 3-2 on aggregate. And then Chelsea lose that final, of course, to Man United. And in 2009, for the 50 year in a row, they meet in the Champions League, so quarter-final. This one finished 7-5 on aggregate. Gus Hiddink was the manager that year. Chelsea beat Liverpool 3-1 at Anfield in the first leg. And then Liverpool don't have Gerrard for the next leg and get beat, obviously, on the night. Didier Drogba was humongous in all these games. He's such a big game player, and he was a bane of Liverpool's life for many years. After that, Liverpool went great, obviously. They went downhill. They sold Alonso, Mascherano, and then 2011, they sold Fernando Torres to Chelsea for 50 million. Didn't really work out for him, but in 2012, they then meet us in the FA Cup again, and Didier Drogba turns up and does his usual stuff, and they beat us 2-1. And then 2014, obviously the infamous Steven Gerrard slip was against Chelsea in the Premier League. So those years, especially the Champions League years, to meet each other five times in such massive games was unbelievable. And especially the ones at Mourinho and Rafa, they were honestly difficult watches because every game was 0-0. And Carragher spoke about it a few weeks ago, where whoever made the mistake, you felt like it was game over. And it was either 0-0 or 1-0 and just massive games. But then I'd implore everyone to go watch the 2008 and 2009 games because they were just fantastic games of football. When you watch them back, the goals that were scored, the players, at that point, it's probably like that peak Liverpool team with like Torres, Gerrard, Alonso, Mascherano, and then Chelsea's team of the midfield was like Essien, Lampard, Balak, Drogba, Malouda, Kalou, players like that. So not the traditional rivalry, but humongous games on the biggest stage, and like I said, big name players too.
Probably is still quite a bit of residual hatred towards Chelsea from Liverpool fans as well, isn't there, really? Just because they're not really a football club, they've been a franchise for 20 years. There's the whole anti-Tory mentality and stuff like that as well. And
yeah,
there's that prick John Terry as well.
I was going to say that they're a bit like anti-Liverpool. Like that year when they got bought and they were playing Football Manager, just buying everyone. It's a London club, Tory club. That was their second Premier League title. Oh, sorry, league title in 2005. So they haven't really won much. I think they won an FA Cup, a League Cup, and a Cup Winners' Cup in the 90s, did they?
Won a couple of FAs, didn't they, I think?
Yeah, whereas Liverpool, actually. Liverpool at the time, I think, was still a most successful team before United had won a couple more Premier Leagues.
Yeah, definitely.
And it was a traditional club, so they were very anti-Liverpool. And then, obviously, Mourinho tried to buy Gerrard, almost did, which didn't help.
I think it's a great argument, actually. I think, obviously, it's one that, at that time, obviously, Everton fans being so desperate for Liverpool not to win, it's like you don't appreciate them sort of things, but I think now, looking at it, that sort of, we look at team for team, especially, I think you're right about that, you know, 2005, 2008, mainly Mourinho, Rafa, probably, like, that Chelsea team were, like, so much better than the Liverpool team, like, player for player, weren't they? And again, like, that's that, when you talk about sort of what Man City are now and bottling when they go to Anfield, that was, like, that was Liverpool's, like, European pedigree and Liverpool's historical thing that they go to Anfield. Every time Chelsea went to Anfield around that time, they just didn't bottle it. I wouldn't say bottle it's the right word, but, you know, like, it wasn't like the, you know, the the other day, they lost 1-0 over two legs in 2005, didn't they? And then in 2007, was it 1-1 over two legs? 2-2, yeah.
Yeah, so, and the first leg in those were at Stamford Bridge and the second leg was at Anfield, but 08-09, it was both at Anfield first and then you go on to Stamford Bridge, and it's not the same.
But even the one that's in 2008, Liverpool are sort of winning that game. Risa scores an own goal late on, didn't he? And again,
94th minute header. And the ball
we were all thinking, you know, God, it's just going to finish 1-0. Like the way Benitez can set up a team. And I think, yeah, I don't know. It's sort of, and I remember, like, I think you made the right point that the 2008 and 2009 were like mad games. I think the 5 and 7-1 are renowned for sort of the football being just dead boring. I remember, I think it was Valdano, the Real Madrid director, said something about, I'm not going to swear, but something on a stick. He's sort of saying it's just like dreadful football, but fans going mad for it. And I think, but yeah, Mourinho, I don't know what it was, but like it seemed to be in Europe. Benitez just had his number, didn't he, really? Which was, considering like Mourinho.
2005, he battered us in the league twice, and 2006 was the same, he battered us in the league twice. And obviously,
they turned up at Anfield and won 4-1, I'm not sure. 4-1. That was 2006, yeah.
It was. But then we get them in the FA Cup semi-final, beat them 1-0.
Yeah, exactly,
That's the one where Mourinho doesn't shake Rafa's hand and it's like, oh, these really hate each other. But then Rafa goes to Chelsea in 2011, 2012? No, around there and win the UEFA Cup.
Not exactly his most shocking managerial move, is it?
No. Agent Rafa.
Not bad.
Well, yeah, and I think even
Rafa,
like,
not you, Max.
I remember just like, again, speaking from your experience, I remember the 2009 one, like obviously, as you mentioned, Chelsea on winning Anfield 3-1, you're thinking, great, you know, this is a nice, easy one. Even then, Liverpool managed to like turn it around. So, like, that's that one that Aurelio scores that free kick, doesn't he, from miles out? And did that end up going to extra time? Did Liverpool win 3-1 on the night and it went to extra time?
It did go to extra time. No, it didn't. It didn't, because we were 2-0 up at half time.
Yeah.
And then 50th minute, 56th minute, I think they scored.
Oh, Alex scores a free kick.
He scores the free kick, yeah. And then, right, then we're chasing, but then we score another two. And then we're still chasing for one goal, and then Lampard scores in like the 88th minute. The one before goes to extra time, and again, we're chasing, and Babel scores with like 3 minutes to go, and we're still trying to get one goal. The 7-5 one. But some of the goals as well, it's just like brilliant. Like Didier Drogba is just so good.
Yeah.
Such a big game player.
Yeah. Loved it, didn't he? And even again, the year before, I think before he joined Chelsea, Liverpool, I think he knocks Liverpool off with Marseille, doesn't he? In the UEFA Cup.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I think, I think that's a great shout, a rivalry. Like around that time, it was like classic sort of, not Barclays, but maybe just before that, but you know, yeah, your classic ITV one night Champions League night type thing, you know, Clive Tilsley. I think, again, we were too sort of bitter and desperate for Liverpool not to win to appreciate, but I'm sure everyone around the country definitely would. Great points. Any other points on that one, or should we move it on?
I like it.
Yeah.
Hate both teams, like, but good suggestion.
Yeah, but no, it's a good suggestion. I think I'll jump in next, and I'm back to a two-player one. I'm going to go a bit old, as I always like to. So I was just going to say, I was torn last 2 minutes. I've just checked with Callum. So the one I was going to go with was Pep and Jose, and obviously a long-standing one, but mainly the Barcelona and Real Madrid days. So just letting the cat out.
Is that a euphemism?
It wasn't. So I was going to go with that one, but I thought
he's got his little cat out.
I was good. Put me off now. So yeah, I think I was just going to focus on Barca and Real Madrid, because I thought I'd just remember them like around that time for a couple of years. It was just unbelievable, that Barca and Real Madrid rivalry. But I'm actually going to go for an older one, and I'm going to go for the rivalry between Johan Cruyff and Franz Beckenbauer, which is not a sort of famous one because it wasn't necessarily fueled by hatred, but it was a rivalry between probably at the time the two best footballers in the world for about 4 or 5 years. I think in my head, and again, not sort of checking it, I think it's sort of between the Pelé era and the Maradona era, where there's no sort of clear dominant player. And I think these two won 5 Ballon d'Ors between them, only separated by 2 years of the birth. And I think really two such important people for the changing game of football. We obviously had Cruyff with and his Ajax team, total football starting. And you had Beckenbauer, who was the sweeper, the libero, who sort of changed that position and changed football in that sense as well. And I think the sort of scene is like attackers versus defenders. But like, really, they were just like two commands of the team. If you ever watch Cruyff, Cruyff's all over the pitch. Literally, if you, the famous goal in 1974, the penalty he wins in the final, he starts, he's basically the deepest fella back for Holland as he dribbles forward. Two sort of absolute leaders. They obviously met famously in the 1974 World Cup final, where Holland, who were maybe the greatest team ever, certainly the greatest team not to win everything, lost to Beckenbauer's Germany in the final, where Beckenbauer also that year won the European Cup with Bayern Munich, captained that, so he's captained that to them, captained to the World Cup final, but Cruyff still wins the Ballon d'Or. I think that's all, it's also the rivalry fueled by a bit at that time. Germany were really hated by Holland, obviously not too far after the war, 30, 40 years after the war, and obviously that Holland team, they often say that they lost that final because they were blinded by hatred. They go 1-0 up and they wanted to just embarrass Germany rather than trying to score more goals. And I think, yeah, just that sort of idea of two like genius footballers, two different characters. Cruyff, very sort of outspoken and very sort of 70s type footballer, the long hair, the sort of very hippie lifestyle. Whereas Beckenbauer, just very, what you'd consider very German, sort of like, sort of seems strict, seems sort of on it. But again, just a sort of a positive change for football, I think. Yeah, the couple of notes here, I'm just trying to read what I read. Also, obviously, managers as well, both very famous managers. Beckenbauer won a World Cup for Germany in 1990. Cruyff, famous for sort of turning Barcelona around again and starting the turn for what Barcelona became now. He was manager when they won the first European Cup. He's obviously influenced the likes of Pep Guardiola. Never really come up from doing a bit of research. I don't think the came up head-to-head as a manager. I think he just did the times, didn't quite go through. But also, as I say, European Cup-wise, Ajax won the first three of the 70s. Bayern Munich won the next three after that. So they were the main part of the 70s. They were sort of dominating and against each other. Cruyff, when they came up together as a club side, I think they only played each other once, which was in the European Cup. And Ajax absolutely battered Bayern 4-0 in 1972. So again, I think that sort of rivalry there, and apparently towards the end, especially once he got a bit older, they did become friends, but certainly not a fierce rivalry 1v1. It wasn't a Keane Vieira sort of thing, but a clear rivalry, maybe similar to a Messi and Ronaldo, that the two best players in the world vying for the best players in the world, winning Ballon d'Ors between them. I think it's really sort of see that now of a two dominant people of European football. So yeah, I think I've covered everything I wanted to say, but I'm not too sure. But yeah, my suggestion, Beckenbauer versus Cruyff. Any thoughts?
Always go for the nerdy option, don't you, Sosh?
No, I didn't think that was too nerdy, that one. I had another one which could have been worse, but...
Well, that's great.
I think, obviously, inside, and I think you're right in the fact that it's not the same type of rivalry personally as Keane Vieira, but like, the bigger picture of Holland Germany is probably much more of a rivalry, and kind of obviously with them two maybe vying out to being like the best player in Europe or the world. It kind of came down to them two. But yeah, I mean, I don't know too much about them, but I'm not sure I don't think they had the Keane Vieira personalities in them. So maybe never going to be like
Cruyff was an act. Don't you worry about that one.
It's never going to be maybe that like aggressive kind of fighters, but maybe just had the like the country's pride or whatever on the backs, maybe for part of it. But yeah, very interesting, Tosh. I think it's a good shout, something different, not modern. Yeah, like it.
I think there was a bit of that. Sorry, Maxwell.
If you think about like the Ronaldo-Messi rivalry, like neither would admit they're the best player. Whereas there's that famous quote from Beckenbauer where he says, Cruyff might be the better player than me, but I won the World Cup.
Yeah.
So I think it's very interesting. Good. But you also think about like, if you did an all-time 11 now, Beckenbauer would probably get in, but you might not put Cruyff in.
Yeah, interesting. I think maybe not because of that thing, but I reckon people around that time who've seen, I think they probably would. And I think, again, if you're looking at people who've sort of influenced football for the last 40, 50 years, would there be anyone who tops Cruyff? No. I think maybe not. Maybe Best someone out. Like an Arrigo Sarri sort of thing, maybe. But I think... Yeah, no, and it's an interesting point, Max, because you're right. I think Beckenbauer probably would get in most as that sort of libero, that sweeper. I think just on your point, Colin, I was just going to say, like, I know, like, you're right, there wasn't that sort of hatred, but I know, like, I think there certainly was between Germany and Ajax and yeah. Germany and Holland and mm-hmm. Ajax and Bayern. I think, like, mm-hmm. when I read a book earlier on in the year, it was about Cruyff, but it was about like, that Ajax team. And when they played Bayern in the Cup, like, Bayern seen them as, like, Ajax embarrassed them. and they brought Cruyff back in 1978 for a testimonial. They invited Bayern Munich over to play it, you know, like a testimonial. And like it was sort of seen as, you know, a farewell to Cruyff, and Bayern turned up, you know, desperate to beat them. Beckenbauer wasn't playing back, so Bayern beat them in Ajax's ground 8-0 in the testimonial.
Oh, wow.
And apparently, like, people were like throwing stuff on the pitch and everything. It was like, because Bayern were just so desperate to beat them.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think, yeah, I think you're right. It's that sort of, but I just, that I always think of that two things, and obviously I you know I love the World Cup and that idea of Holland, that Holland team is probably the one team I'd have loved to have seen watch, because I do think they changed football. I think there's that argument with Germany, people think of Germany, especially Germany in 1954 and 74 beat Hungary and Holland, who were seen as two of the best ever losers. But I think that Germany team are renowned for also playing some great football. I think in 1972 they win the Euros playing like another version of total football. So I think it's always sort of that idea of like one was football, one was anti-football, when that probably wasn't the case. But, and also I think Beckenbauer, as Max says about winning the World, I think he was quite annoyed that year. I mentioned he wins the league, he wins the European Cup with Bayern, he wins the World Cup, and Cruyff's named Ballon d'Or. So yeah, I think that there probably was a bit of an irkness on, but as I think, yeah, there was definitely a respect. I think they were very nearly teammates, speaking of the American link at New York Cosmos as well. I think they overlap, but like not briefly enough to play with each other by me. Very brief research before, but...
great shout.
Thank you very much. Right, Callum, let's finish it off then.
So mine's probably going to be a bit different in the terms of this probably isn't an elite rivalry in terms of being at the top level, but I think it shows the impact it had, and it kind of became like a massive story in England. There's a massive footballing story that ended up in a bit of like a cultural war, and then in one team knocking another team out of the playoffs. It actually reignited a rivalry which probably was elite back in like the 60s and 70s, when both clubs were kind of challenging for league titles. But this was all sparked by one situation where a suspicious-looking man was found in the bushes of a training ground. He ended up being, a colleague of Bielsa at Leeds, spying on Derby. So my rivalry was the rivalry sparked by Spygate, which actually culminated in most insightful and unique moments we've had in sort of English football, when Bielsa done his sort of called a press conference and done his presentation of how he studies every single club week by week, which was something like 300 hours of work on each team, and kind of he walked everyone through his process, which I don't think we've ever seen before. It was very kind of not English, and it did end up starting like a bit of a cultural war of like the old English managers kind of saying, oh, we don't do that in this country, and that isn't what happens, and sort of the integrity of the English game and all this kind of stuff, where Bielsa was kind of suggesting, oh, well, in his country and in his football, that's kind of what you do and that's what's done. So it sparked something bigger than it possibly was. But again, one of the kind of, I don't know, most insightful kind of moments in English football. There was obviously a massive sort of thing then going into that game. Lampard on the receiving end, not very happy, obviously. And then sort of towards the end of the season, as it was, you know, it was kind of obvious this was going to happen, they met each other in the playoffs. And obviously Derby beat Leeds, and the players done the binocular celebration to kind of point fun at the whole Spygate event. And I think it's still something that goes on now. Obviously, you saw Victor Orta with his celebration when Leeds got promoted, I think it was. When they beat Derby that year, I think he does the binoculars celebration when they get promoted. So it's obviously something that I think, as I said at the beginning, those two clubs were in a big rivalry back in the 60s and 70s. So there will have been generations of fans there who kind of had a dislike of each other, sort of bubbling under. But then, yeah, when the Spygate happened, it kind of probably brought that all to the surface, and it was like a new generation of that rivalry. And yeah, I just thought it's a bit different in the fact that it wasn't like an elite or Premier League or European level rivalry, but it was kind of sparked by one single incident that kind of, yeah, I don't know, possibly changed English football, the way we view it in certain ways. I know it changed the rules of what clubs could do in terms of watching opponents. Bielsa ended up getting fined. Well, Leeds ended up getting fined £200,000, which Bielsa paid out of his own pocket. And there was, you know, call for deducted points and stuff, but that didn't happen. But yeah, I just think it was a sort of like the rivalries that we spoke about today were not kind of single moments. But yeah, for such a rivalry to be sparked by a single moment and something that's like was, I suppose, shocking in a way that it never really happened before, or at least no one had been caught. And there's all like the media furore over it. And then, yeah, obviously Bielsa's presentation. So, and I think, yeah, for the rivalry to end with then Derby knocking them out of the playoffs, it was kind of like poetic justice.
They didn't get promoted though, did they?
No, they ended up getting beaten in the final, yeah. Didn't they? But to knock them out
then
in the
got relegated.
Yeah, so who were the real winners, Bob?
Exactly.
Football's the real winner.
I was going to say, like, it's just that they got caught. It definitely happened.
It definitely does. Yeah, well, I mean, Bielsa, I mean, he showed everyone out there just that he got caught.
Yeah.
How suspicious the man was in the bushes. Must have looked ridiculous.
It was the fellow who stood next to him in the press conferences because he didn't understand anything. I was only noticed that fellow you always see on the camera stood next to Bielsa.
I hope he had like a really like rubbish fancy dress,
like glasses with the nose,
like glasses, big nose, and thing, or like a newspaper with holes cut out. It's like looking through the bushes. But yeah, obviously do it, and obviously happens, and I'm pretty sure clubs have things leaked as well from the inside.
There was a period early in Jurgen Klopp's reign in Liverpool where their lineup got leaked days before the game for a long time. That was back when they were at Melwood, so obviously you can't stop people looking outside the house window. But if you ever go to Liverpool's new training ground, there's an Amazon warehouse, and when it got built, they made sure that it had no windows on one side, so people can be looking in to the training ground from there.
Definitely making them workers in Amazon have an even worse time than no daylight. Famously got no sort of life there. As long as Klopp's like team's not revealed.
Yeah, it's not like Liverpool to be unethical about people's living arrangements and working conditions, but
some things never change.
Yeah. I was just going to offer to it. I remember my memory of that is obviously not paying attention too much, but it sort of became, in my head, it became a bit of a sort of like snobbery war of like, you know, the classic British people. Frank Lampard's doing like it is as job, you know, like he's a British fella and he does things properly. And then it became like sort of like Bielsa, people like, you know, probably like snobs like me, you know, I knew who Marco Bielsa is. I know this is his style sort of thing. All these people, Bielsa defenders. It came sort of a mix of them two things, like, you know, his style.
They had the good song as well on Lampard, didn't he, to Stop Crying Your Heart Out.
Then he sort of started singing, didn't he?
Yeah.
I actually was watching the highlights of that game not too long ago, and do you know who was the best player on the pitch? Richard Keogh. Honestly, he was like Franz Beckenbauer that day for an Iceland. Honestly, sprinting forward, he was brilliant.
I think, does he score? There's definitely this picture of him doing the
block. Yeah, well, he was the captain, wasn't he? Yeah. There's one where he keeps breaking forward and like puts it. He might make one of them. I don't think he scores, but yeah, it was another one that Leeds won the first leg, didn't they? At Derby, so you're just thinking like Leeds had finished third. Leeds had just missed out on promotion, but yeah, no, an interesting selection. You could have also, as you mentioned, you could have maybe gone Revy versus Clough back in the day. Yeah. That would have been a better one, really, but.
Yeah, great film, Damn United.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Oh yeah, already mentioned it, Maroon 5 on this podcast. So for all the listeners who've been listening for a while. Right then, the obvious one, we are just going as obvious as it could be. We're going to go Messi, Ronaldo, which I don't really think we need to spend any time talking about.
I don't even think it's obvious, though, because there's only one winner there.
I know, but it was an unbelievable rivalry for years, wasn't it? You can't take that away. I think
I'm telling Sean's just right messy on the poll. Then,
well, Bob, winners' honors mean dictates that you get to get rid of one for the poll.
It's actually a struggle, this one.
It's not really, if you think about it.
Sorry, Callie, I'm going to kick out Leeds and Derby, mainly because I don't like Leeds. I don't like the Bielsa cult as well.
I actually knew you were going to do that. I actually don't think we should kick out that. I think we should kick out Messi Ronaldo because that's going to obviously win the poll. So I just wanted you to kick out Callum and build some ill will there. So
no, but yeah, I can't.
I think we should get rid of Messi Ronaldo. I think if we do that poll, Messi Ronaldo wins, doesn't it? So I think the other four are all niche enough that they've sort of got different debates. I think that's a good poll. That so
yeah, the four were really good. To be fair,
I think that's a good poll to do. So
that's our show. It is Bob's decision.
In Sean's absence, I'm taking control. I'm flexing my muscles here. Me and Adam Levine have got the right to overrule on this in Maroon 5. So,
well, he's an absolute sex pest, isn't he? So,
me or Adam Levine, or
did me and Adam Levine, but you've outed yourself now, Sash. That is not getting edited out.
Fantastic. Let me put on TikTok, Sean, and have a little rat. right then. So, our nominations for best football and rivalries, we've got Keane Vieira, Bielsa versus Lampard, Liverpool versus Chelsea from around 2005-2009, and Cruyff versus Beckenbauer. Get yourself over to X and vote for which you think it is, and maybe drop us a suggestion if you think there's one better. Yeah, right?
One better being Messi Ronaldo, which is in the poll.
Nah. Well, Callum, it's probably the week after his fixtures now, so.
Right?
Where's Sean?
Season's over now.
Oh yeah, you've got a big problem here, Callum. I thought this was the lineup. Honestly,
I've got it.
Max, how quick can you put names in a wheel? Right then, we'll now hand over to Callum for keeping up appearances.
So for this week's keeping up appearances, we have gone with two Premier League games and one sort of big Championship game. So we've got Liverpool versus Chelsea, Spurs versus West Ham, and Leeds versus Sheffield United. I will spin the wheel now to see which fixture will be the one to pick. And the fixture we will be picking players from is Spurs versus West Ham. Any thoughts, guys?
No.
Thanks, Max. See you next week.
Again, it's probably quite a good game, really, to be fair. I think Spurs are a great laugh at the moment, aren't they? Just do what they do. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant first half against Brighton, 2-0 up, and then do what they did. They're just really great to watch, really exciting, but you just don't know what you get. It must be quite infuriating if you're a fan of them, because there's probably no one who's played better than them maybe in the league. It might be fair to say that they've probably played like some of the best football in the league, but they've just dropped so many points from winning positions and stupid points they never should have. So
you're talking about Spurs or Everton?
Best team in the league.
Yeah.
No.
So for 86 minutes against Bournemouth, we were.
For 86 minutes against Bournemouth, yeah.
And I'll die on that hill.
Yeah. I'll skill him and die on that hill. I think it's good. West Ham haven't had the best, but they did win. I can't remember if they beat someone around, didn't they? Was it Ipswich?
Ipswich, right?
Yeah, so I think
wasn't it a big win?
Yeah, I think they scored 3 or 4, didn't they?
Yeah,
I think so. Ipswich, another good bit of Bielsa content as well.
What's that?
He couldn't say Ipswich, it was absolutely great. He said Ipswich or something like that. It was absolutely great.
You were definitely in the Frank Lampard English manager's side, weren't you?
No, I was indifferent, but
I just think if we'd have picked that QPR, we could have had Van Gaal calling them Queen Park Raisins. That would have been even better.
Right, any predictions for the game, Josh?
I will go a 3-1 win for Spurs.
Max?
Spurs at home?
Yeah. I think so.
2-0.
2-2.
I will go 3-0 Spurs. So, they are our predictions. Let's get the number. So, we have a minimum of 50, max of 450. As usual, I will click generate now to see the number of appearances we'll be playing for this week. The number is 393. 393 appearances.
Jesus Christ, Carl.
Tottenham, guess
Sean back.
Sean will come up with that number.
No
Sean,
way.
Sean might guess a player who's played that number when after 100.
Richard Goff.
Song of the week?
Got to be a McFly song.
I was going to say Two Tribes.
Nah.
Rivalry.
Nah.
Yeah, what sort of rivalries could we have? It was like a big rival. The Beatles and the Stones, Bob.
That's just like Messi against Ronaldo, though, isn't it?
Stones win, yeah, you are right.
Noel and Liam Gallagher.
Ooh. Could have a BDI song. what McFly one would you go for, Bob? I feel like we've had McFly, that's my problem, I'm busted.
Yeah. Did Girls Aloud do a song with Sugar Babe?
They did Walk This Way, I think.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
So that's Song of the Week.
Yeah, I like it.
Sean will be thrilled with that.
Yeah, he will actually like that. I'm really struggling for spares. I feel like a couple I've got in my head have been said already. That's my problem as well.
You better hope Sean actually had this because this was a long period of silence.
I don't think he does these days, to be honest. He's taking it easy, and he took his foot off the gas, to be brutally honest. After he hears this one, he won't be, though. He realises he's got a big job to save himself.
I think I've got two, but...
Yeah, I've got a few names, but I don't feel like... Got one that's too much, and I reckon one that's too little.
Yeah.
I'm probably the same as well.
Eight, nine, zero. I can't think of anyone who would have played for Tottenham.
Well, I don't get anyone else, so I'm ready when you are.
Yours current, Max?
I haven't decided. I've got one current and one non-current.
Same, yeah. I'll go first.
Could have gone West Ham. That's what I should have done. Let's see.
West Ham's difficult, though, because, like, it's the obvious one, but he's got, like, he's probably got well over 500, you know what I'm thinking of.
Is it Julian Dix?
He did pop and
Sean left it bleep out now, sorry.
I'm going to have to just pick one of my names. I'm not happy with anyone. I've got four or five names written down.
So what's the Bob?
Yeah.
Cool. We'll go with Bob first. Bob, who have you got?
Struggled on this one, and I'm just going to pick him because he's been there a while, and I just want to mention him because I absolutely despise the prick. I'm going to go for Son Heung-min, man that should still be suspended.
Yeah, current one.
Going for,
yeah.
I sort of feel like he's been guessed, but I don't know whether he has. So I'm not going to check.
I wouldn't have remembered his number anyway. I blank him from my memory because I despise him.
Well,
He should have missed 393 games for that terrible challenge on Andre Gomez, but he didn't.
Well, fair enough. I reckon that could be fairly close, Bob, possibly. Would you celebrate if you got it right with Heung-min Son?
No, it'd be a tainted victory.
I will go next, then, seeing though you took mine, Bob. I will go for a player who no longer plays for them, but has definitely had enough to be up there, probably more. I'll go with Harry Kane. I think he's probably too high, but I'll go
probably
with him.
Probably scored that many for them, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so. I'll go Harry Kane as my shout. Yeah, he's going to be there or thereabouts, isn't he? Max, you're going Casey Keller?
Do you want me to go last, just for fairness for Tosh?
I'm struggling. I'll go next, but... Yeah, I really struggled. The only ones I could think of Tottenham, I just think were too many. So I'd like Glenn Hoddle. I think he'd be too high. Gary Mavert from the old days. And then yeah, I had two sort two recent ones both left the club now. I don't know whether Max could go for one, so I'll just say the one I'm going to go for. But again, I think he's going to be too high. Hugo Lloris.
He was on my list as well. I just think, between him and Son.
I think he was there about 10, 11 years, and as a goalkeeper, he's playing Everton, isn't he? So I just I think he's probably too many, but I just... would he be more than... I think he probably... Would he be less than Glenn Hoddle? I don't know. Yeah, but I'm going him anyway. I also haven't written down any of the other names, Callum, because I was trying to think. I didn't come up with any names. So you might need to check.
Yeah. Max, are you going for...
If they've had two spells, did he come together?
Correct.
I'm going to go Jermaine Defoe.
Ooh.
We call that the Charlie Nicholas on this podcast. I got done by that once, Max.
Did you?
Yeah. I did get done.
Explain how you got done.
Oh, we're not bringing it up again. Because I didn't know.
It's not like you to not want to know about something.
Because I'm sure we mentioned before you could sort of pick and choose. I didn't know he had two spells. And in the first spell, I was pretty much bang on. So, yeah. Who was the other one? Who did you just say? Jermaine Defoe, who you're checking, Callum? Might have to do a bit of math to that one. The other one I had was Jan Vertonghen. Do you reckon he was there that long now?
Yeah, he could have been. Maybe was Ida Viral there longer, though?
No, I think I would have said Vertonghen was there longer myself. But... I'm not too sure. Right, let me do a bit of maths work anyway.
Last time I had no clue.
Yeah, I didn't even think. I was trying to think of like someone here who like sort of played for. Yeah, I was struggling.
Frank Lampard's da.
Right then, results are in. Thank you for doing that, Callum. In fourth place, then, I think all reasonable guesses, all within 60. No one's super close. So, but 54 out with 447 appearances was Hugo Lloris, so myself. So, taking the 1 point this week. In third place, 42 out with 435 was Harry Kane. So Callum in third, which leaves us Max and Bob, who are both pretty close to each other. One was 30 out and one was 22 out. 30 out with 363 was Jermaine Defoe, which means Bob wins again with Sun Heung-min, who was 22 out with 415. But if you're listening about 2 months, Max, you'll have won that. So that's what you've got to think about it. So if you're listening to this in, say, January, February, some will have gone past that, so Max will have won. So it depends when you're listening, really.
Unless he gets a retrospective ban for that challenge on Andre Gomez.
Which I would be in favour of as well. I would agree with. But yeah, well done, Bob, as always. But a good one from Max there. I would have thought the foe was less. So yeah, I think it's a good shout, that one.
That's the moral victory, because Jermaine Defoe was in a bell end.
And it's also a good... A good one, because it goes over two spans as well, which that's a good bit of thing.
And both clubs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I don't even think of that.
How many times did he play for West Ham? If he added his West Ham appearances, would he get closer?
I would go third way. 103.
Oh, 103. No. Couple more appearances, and I'll catch up to Sean here.
it's probably not too far away.
I reckon that means you need to be a permanent member. And swerve Sean if you actually catch up with them this season.
There's only guests are only seven behind Sean, and he played six less games, five less games actually. So they just need to win about not come bottom three or four times, and they would go above Sean.
On that note, Tosh, do you want to tell us the?
Do you want me to read it later? Oh yeah, I forgot. I've got a new job this week. Okay, then, so our current league table, in fifth place, we have guests. Max taking the total up to eight. I think Max has done 2 3-pointers recently, so he's doing God's work for the guests. We've then got Sean, 15 points, didn't add to his total this week, but probably wouldn't have anyway. We have Callum with 20 points next. We've then got myself with 25, and Bob sailing away, really, 33 points. Border on an unassailable lead already. That's no one can touch Bob, I'm afraid, in this one at the moment.
You just right, take then. My you just take my choices for the poll off me instead.
Yeah, exactly. You've already got enough power.
Yeah, so thank you very much for listening to this week's episode. Thank you very much to Max for joining us. The time difference, I'm sure, has made it a bit difficult, but you see he's enjoyed it. Looks absolutely thrilled to be on. So thanks for having us, Max. Good shout to M5 and a good answer in your KUA as well. Another resounding win for Bob, who extends his lead in the table there. There are no big rivalries in the KUA table as Bob is running away with it. But please head over to our X to vote on our M5 this week, which was football's biggest rivalries. I think Tosh, for some reason, decided what the four were going to be. So, please prove him right and vote as much as you can for those options. Please keep sharing our podcast with your friends, family, whoever else. We do like the support and appreciate the support. So comment, like, share, repost, do anything you can. Please help us keep growing. And we will be back next week with Sean. Hopefully he's enjoyed the wrestling tonight.
The big loser.
He will be on producing duty, so he's still playing his part. And we will see you all next week. Max, nice one.
Thank you.
See you next week, guys.
I really don't understand why I've been absolutely toshed on Room 5 there.
Do you mean? I'm just thinking of the podcast.
He always is, to be fair, Bobby. Tosh is.
I was just saying. I just want. I'm more than happier to boot Callum off. He deserves it after last week.
Is running away with keeping appearances not enough for you, Bob?
Yeah, exactly. No. Well said, Max. I've got my producer hat on here. I'm just thinking of the best thing for the podcast. And a messy Ronaldo in there is not what we need.
To be fair, Tosh, the way you kind of read out the table there, do you reckon you could probably take over producing duties and then like?
Yeah,
I think I'm not far away. I'm off, but also
who's doing editing?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I could definitely produce.
Max, I reckon you edit, Cal. I'll shave my head.
And we just need one more person to moon at us all the time. Only joking, Sean.
I'm not.
Be listening to stop the recording, but. We listen, Sean. Sorry, I'm only joking. Enjoy the rest of them. Keep me in mind.